Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie.
Is this another week?
It's another week. These weeks are going by faster.
It's too fast.
Way too fast. I know what's going on. You know, we're just in the middle of COVID still. And still, you and I spent a whole hour listening to Dr. I don't know his name on Sam Harris's podcast.
This is Siddhartha somebody.
Yeah.
And as Sam Harris calls him, Sid.
Sid. Yes. He is a Rhodes Scholar, which is something every time I hear that somebody's a Rhodes Scholar, my ears perk up because I remember you had a dream for me to be a Rhodes Scholar.
That's because I had a dream to be a Rhodes Scholar.
I know you did.
I wanted to so bad. And then when I realized what it involved.
Yeah, you're like,
Maybe Julie can.
Well, the problem with me being a Rhodes Scholar is I would have had to have parents who were like not as laissez-faire as you.
Right.
Because you always said, oh, you guys are so smart. You'll be fine no matter what you want to do.
You need Asian parents.
I really did.
See, Asian parents would go, A, I spit on A's. You got to do better than A.
A plus. And are you taking those, you know,
violin lessons?
Yes. And college credit courses. Are you taking those AP classes? And see, but you were like, oh, you guys are so smart. We were smart.
You were smart.
We were smart.
But then
we peered out because we were smart
yeah.
when we were in junior high.
Right.
And then in high school, we needed to go beyond your smart.
Yeah.
And you were always smart. And you still are smart, especially in the spiritual side and philosophy. You know, you are. But like,
and
the knowledge side. But to be a Rhodes Scholar, you really are diving deep. Like we have a good friend, and her daughter went to Johns Hopkins for her master's or doctorate.
Master's.
You know, and
it's Johns Hopkins.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure.
What did I say?
Johns Hopkins. He was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence.
The this is why I didn't go to Rhodes.
He and Hamilton had an affair.
Yeah.
They rapped a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, and her comrades are all like working at the State Department in different countries.
Right.
And in some ways, we'll discuss this real quickly. So this daughter who, you know, went to Johns Hopkins, right? Mm-hmm. Can I share this?
Yes.
Okay. Has one of her good friends who also went to Johns Hopkins is actually working for some place in Lebanon, in Beirut.
In Beirut, she and her husband,
and the husband works for the State Department for the Swiss Embassy.
Yes,
in promotion or something like that, or video or
production.
Something. Production. Mm-hmm. Now, am two
I
things
a
are
little too much. No,
no, no. Oh God, I hope not. I can't imagine. No.
Yeah. It wasn't Switzerland anyway.
I have no idea. We really don't know.
And it wasn't production.
No, we don't know. We really were just guessing. We're like, this is like telephone time.
Yes.
But what he does say is that he has a video of two planes flying, two military planes,
right.
What it looks like, flying.
They live in a 10th floor condo in Beirut.
One thing that
$600,000.
That's what I was surprised about. Yeah. God, property's expensive everywhere.
Yeah.
Can you imagine $600,000 for a property in Beirut?
Yeah.
And you're like, hello. Yeah. And then you're like, $1 million listing. Where are you? Beirut, Lebanon. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh. And I guess,
what kind of party do I have to throw to get the brokers to come out?
Yeah. What kind of crouterie or what's that called, Mom?
Charcuterie.
Well, that's the one thing. Well, anyway, real quick before I forget. So anyway, he saw these two military planes. He videotaped it.
Yeah, because they were flying really low.
We're playing a telephone game, but like literally we're hearing about 10th through the 10th person. But, you know.
Yeah.
Two planes go by real low. Then he sees a puff of smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And then explosion, and it explodes him back.
No, that wasn't it.
Okay.
He sees the planes,
okay,
and starts filming because they're so low. And then he sees a puff of smoke. And he films that, and then he sees some fire.
Okay,
and then he tells his wife and the kids they have a safe room in the house in the condo to go there immediately, and for her to put her body over the three boys.
Okay,
I guess I am telling too much.
Should we start over?
Oh my God, let's just keep going.
Okay,
let's just keep rolling.
Okay.
And then there is an explosion that blows all the windows and everything out and throws him back.
Right.
Into the, and you know, he's all bloody and stuff. And so he is saying that that was no fireworks or
what, fertilizer plant. Yeah. And that's what we're not sure. We're saying he says that.
Yes. And we're not even saying it's a he.
No, it's she. It's
could
a
be.
They were two in it.
Are
we
they?
Don't know. It's a they. Yeah. It's for sure a they.
Yeah.
We don't know. And it's funny, I was telling a story to Doug, and he's like, oh yeah, they already debunked that. I'm like, oh, okay.
I loved it when you decided to tell him. You went, should I tell? I go, I don't know. And you told him the story, and he didn't even let you get like
the last 10
seconds out.
I know.
And he was just like, shut you down.
I know.
And I went, that's his loss.
That's exactly how we should look at it, his loss.
I always look at it that way.
Good. Well, no,
it's not your gain, though.
No, that's what you always look at it as, like, telling. I think that's always your second thought.
Yes.
Oh, that's telling.
Yes.
That's telling Julie. And I'm like, oh, Doug, stop telling so much with your behavior. Please.
Tell me something fun today. What can we talk about that's sweet or fun or...
Well... I want to say about the charcuterie, something like that. It's those things I never knew existed.
Yeah.
But it's where you take a big, huge board.
A cutting board.
Yeah. That can be the size of a 1x1 or 10x10.
Yeah, or an accordion.
I don't know about that. I've never seen an accordion. But
I just wanted you to say it.
Oh, accordion.
Accordion size charcuterie.
That's right. That's right. You were trying to stump me.
Yes, it was.
Stump Julie, but yes. It didn't work.
Nah.
Nah. So anyway, I did not know. I watched $1 Million Listing. Some guy, whatever his name, Ross or Josh, I guess.
All of them are named Josh.
Yes.
All of them.
He goes and he needs to get people to his open house.
Right.
And he spends $3,000 to $5,000 on a accordion size charcuterie.
That's right.
And I didn't know that was a possibility.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that when they told him, like,
when they told the brokers what was going to be there.
He had a charcuterie expert.
That's right.
I did not know that was a thing.
And when the charcuterie expert found out that there was no
power
in the house, somehow there was a power outage.
Right.
He felt
concerned.
He was concerned and slighted. How dare you? I am an expert in charcuterie.
Right. And
how dare you?
Cheese and ham and fruit need to be cooled.
Yeah.
And vegetables. They look pretty. But you know, how about 20 minutes of people eating out the charcuterie?
Yeah.
You're going to need a charcuterie expert just to keep making it smaller and smaller and smaller, or it looks stupid.
It looks stupid to have a fourth of your food off your charcuterie. Oh, maybe that's what he does.
He stays there
and
keeps reorganizing
restocking it,
or keeps it making it look pretty.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, there's nothing uglier than a quarter-eaten charcuterie.
You know what?
Or happy.
I think you could have another job, Julie.
I could be a charcuterie.
I don't know if you can be. You could be a maven.
Oh, a maven.
A charcuterie maven.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
How about a charcuterie landscaper?
I don't know what that means.
I trim back your charcuterie. I keep trimming it back. Keep trimming it. Oh, you know.
That sounds like a story for Dan Savage.
Sure. It is. It definitely is. And so I just was shocked by that. But I have a dilemma for you. It's not a moral dilemma.
Oh.
I mean, it could be.
Okay.
It could be.
I love your dilemmas for me.
Well, here we go. So I'm going into a rest area. And it's going to the bathroom. Got my mask on. I'm good to go.
What state are you in?
I'm in Wisconsin.
All right.
I sit down. And it's pretty active. And I see a stall that's open. So I sit down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm grateful because I'm about ready to go to the bathroom, you know.
And you have a mask on.
I have a mask on. And walking to the bathroom, you know how your body goes, oh, bathroom time, yay. Things start waking up. Sometimes number one, sometimes number two. It's a jackpot. Exactly. And so I get there and I sit down. And before I roll the dice, I notice that there is no toilet paper.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, what?
Did you bring your purse in?
No, because I don't want to do that in COVID times. Right. Because, and so
I understand that.
I look around. Now, here's my dilemma.
Yes.
There are some toilet shreds on the ground. Yeah, you're making a face like, nah. And then there is my...
underpants?
Mask.
What?
I am debating. I'm like sitting there and I'm like, okay. I go, well, and then at this moment, thank God my body, you know, internally is realizing the dilemma that's up ahead.
And decides.
Not to do a number two.
Whoa.
It could have. Previously, right. It was looking right. Forward to like, hey, what could happen? I don't know. Feeling either way.
You could do a dookie.
I could either one. Mm-hmm. And then it chose not to. So mm-hmm. Then I had a third option, mm-hmm. which was a drip dry. Mm-hmm. Because I was not on, mm-hmm. you know, my Aunt Flo is not visiting. Thank mm-hmm. God. Because if that was the case, then
yeah,
the mask is coming off and right. I'm, you know.
Whoa.
I guess. I'm not even sure how desperate I would have been.
Right.
Maybe I might have just said, screw it. I got to pull my pants up and get up. You know, maybe I would have recognized all the stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am, by doing Sam Harris meditation every day, mm-hmm. becoming more aware and more present. And now that I'm on keto, my brain is just firing at all cylinders. Mm-hmm. And I might have made the right decision. Mm-hmm. But because I didn't have the third component.
Yes.
I chose at that moment to just...
drip dry?
I did.
Yeah.
What would you have done?
Okay. So I think that's what I would have done, first of all.
And
I have not done this, but here's what I have seen in terms of the number twos.
Okay.
Okay. I have seen people, well, I haven't seen people do this, but I've seen the remnants of people who have done this, which is dirty underwear in a stall.
Right. Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. The stall, the bathroom's crowded. I mean, people are coming and going.
And you're taking, how do you take your pants off with your shoes to then take your underpants off to use it as a
wiper? Yes. And then you're just throwing it away.
And then you got to throw your underpants away.
And like, I don't know if you've noticed this, but the trash bins have gotten smaller. They're wanting you to use only hand dryers.
Exactly.
And
right.
Actually, not just that, they have signs someplace, these rest areas, saying this rest area does not provide paper towels.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
We are environmentally, we are responsible.
Yeah. Well, some rest areas don't provide waste baskets.
No, nothing. It is literally
like, take you, if you bring trash in, you take trash out.
Exactly. So then I'm taking my soiled underwear with me in the semi.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Okay. I'm still thinking mask time, but that's okay.
But Julie, can you imagine putting that mask back on to go back outside?
I would not. I would just have to say.
Your tablecloth.
Yeah. Well, today I saw for the first time mm-hmm. someone denied entrance because they were not wearing a mask.
Finally. I see all these people just going, even there are big signs everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they like go, screw it.
Yeah.
I'm sovereign. Leave me alone.
So you had an incident today in the back of the house and the van wouldn't start.
Yes.
And so you call me, I'm working, and you go, Julie, we must get a battery. You know, talk to this man, Max.
Yes.
He's got it saved for you and all that stuff. He knows his stuff. He's a good guy.
We wanted you to pick it up on the way home because while we were out working in the backyard, our car died.
Yes. And we were hoping it was just a battery issue. And
it was, yeah.
Yes.
So, but we couldn't get the battery because our car was dead.
And you guys had this long, elaborate story of this man that helped you out and put the battery to the side and all great. Yes. Good guy.
And he was the guy who wanted you to talk to.
Specifically. I walk and I see two women and I go like, I don't know what's going on. And then the one woman I walk up to and she's like, all right, come over here. I go, and I see that her name tag says Max, and she's talking real deep and groggy like she's like smoking 10 packs a day. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, there it is. And I go, there. That's who my dad thinks is the guy.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, no problem. I think that's an easy, like...
No problem. Yeah.
But it was cute because...
Max, who is the head manager of the auto parts store.
Yeah. And it's cute because... she had a ponytail on, but it was like coming, strands coming out everywhere. He's like, I'm barely here, ladies, you know. And I said, oh, I go, my father said that you have put aside a battery. I didn't put it aside, but I know which one you're talking about, you know, because they're kind of heavy and I don't want to put it aside if you weren't going to show up, but I can get it for you. I'm like, all right, great. But we can't put this one in. I'm like, okay, no problem. But she was like, she was very knowledgeable about nothing. But I mean, she didn't help me at all, but she gave me the battery.
Yeah.
And she put it on the car for me.
She took authority. That's kind of what cops.
Hell yeah, she took authority.
It's like what cops do. They don't really help you, but they take authority over the situation.
Exactly.
You know, I'm coming in looking for a battery. I will help you. You know, don't think I did this for you.
Right.
I did this for me. I wasn't about to pick it up. But, you know, I'm kind of just saying, that's kind of where I'm at with cops right now. I'm like upset with them.
I think that we should have a separate division of police officers that are only designed for mentally ill or health crisis.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't. They
I agree.
Because more often than not, like wellness checks shouldn't be done by police officers, but they could turn into a police situation. But if we had people that were trained to do things.
Well, I heard, I don't know which city it was. I think, oh, I know it was Austin, Austin, Texas, which is maybe not a great, you know, statistic for to do this. But they have defunded their police department about by $80 million, something like that.
Yeah.
Less. And they said that in the, while we were defunding it, they're saying that we are going to reimagine public safety.
Interesting.
I like to know what that means.
Because I would too.
I would like to, like, as you're talking about, reimagining public safety. Because there's health, there's wellness, you know, there's mental illness stuff. There's like, you know, catching speeders, or not having your sticker on your plate.
Right.
All that stuff where the cops are like mean to you or whatever, you know, just barely civil. And then there's like true crime.
Right. And I know for a fact there are a lot of times cops aren't doing true crime.
No.
We had.
That's the part we don't understand.
Right. Like, I'll give an example. Years ago, we had a semi that one of the guys that we used to work with, his semi was stolen.
Right.
$100,000, $100,000 semi.
Easy. Yeah.
And it was filled with sand. So, like, totally it might have been worth $150,000.
Yeah.
The semi had low jack. I mean, they could have, and the owner called the police, but because it was driving, and you know, they just didn't feel it was necessary because it was at this point, let your insurance take care of it. You'll have insurance claim.
This is an insurance issue, sir.
Yeah,
they're right. You can catch them. Here, look. This is where they're at. You can watch.
Yeah. They got a semi. No. You know, it's like, oh, it's the same way I felt about watching that Epstein documentary.
Right.
Where for several years they're trying to gather information on Epstein. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, but like the 15-year-old girls or 16-year-old girls are like, you know, they'll pick them up right away and like put them in jail.
No, but Jules, you didn't know. Here's the thing. You understand, it's not investigate. Yeah, it is investigate.
It's not Federal Bureau of Investigation. Right. Yeah,
they just investigate things.
We just investigate. And I know
it's not really take care of it.
No, because when we had Rita Crumwell, who was a comptroller in our state, city of
Dixon.
Right
here in Dixon, Illinois.
She embezzled $58 million.
I think maybe more.
We got back $54 million, something like that.
It was the largest ever. Well,
yes. This little town, we were going broke. She had been doing it for almost probably 2 decades.
And it was interesting because Sterling, which is the hotbed of those parties, those where they all wear bags.
Sex parties.
Mm-hmm. And basically they just give each other herpes. And then it's like measles.
Right.
And you're done with it.
Right.
Everybody's got it. You can whatever.
Yeah.
They even wrote us a letter saying, you know, we have a lot less money for our stuff than you do, and yet our river looks nice. And our bridges,
we don't have any debt.
What's going on?
You guys, something's going on with you guys.
And then we went, maybe we should look at this.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But I don't know who was looking at it. It was their board. Their board didn't look at
it. No, finally, when she went on vacation, whoever they got to take her place, who was different.
Yep. She's like, what's this extra account?
This is weird.
But now here's the thing about the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Yes.
So the FBI was called in. And then they started investigating.
Yes.
And months later, our mayor called them up saying, we are literally going to go broke if you don't start if you don't handle this now.
Yeah, because he knew
we can't afford her to be working here one more effing day.
Yes, exactly.
And so they came in and we
all
were
right.
All right, we'll take care of it. We got enough information. Yeah. What, you didn't have enough yesterday?
It was so great though.
It was great because we were there. We didn't see the takedown, but what we did see.
We were just happened to be shopping at Walmart.
Yes.
And we just, Julie, eagle eye, happened to notice about 50 to 75 FBI cars.
Yes. And they were all putting their jackets on.
Everybody had their FBI vests.
I was shocked because they were all different cars.
Yeah.
Little tiny cars, minivans.
Yeah.
Bigger
they
cars.
They were undercover, baby.
They were all undercover. Yeah. Some were clean, some were not clean. And I just thought, I thought all FBI agents had, SUVs.
No.
The Suburbans. Mm-mm. And I was mistaken on that. But that was wild.
Yeah.
And
my uncle was an FBI agent.
Yeah.
And
your cousin.
But he was, for decades. And I can remember, and I used to really just love my uncle. Mm-hmm. And I thought he was like literally cool and he was always on my side. And,
yeah.
But when I was about 17 or 18, I just in jest asked him a question regarding the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
Ah.
Just as an aside.
Yeah.
And he gave me such a look and a response that even today sends chills down my spine. It was like, don't you ever. Ever. Like, it was like, just took like that control.
Oh my God. Like, why?
It was just like, like shut me down.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. Oh my God.
Right.
And those were the end of my warm feelings toward him.
Yeah. See, because truth
but
is,
he,
you're...
That's how he acted though.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? That's what he was acting like to other people.
Oh yeah.
Real people all the time.
Oh yeah.
I just never saw it.
No.
But that was his, work persona.
Oh wow. Yeah. Very,
here's the thing. Would you want to have a job where you had to be like that?
No.
If that was your persona?
No. I don't. But some people get off on it. G-man. It's a G-man.
And you come home and you're daddy.
Yeah.
Come my cute little kid.
Well,
I don't see how you can not bring it home.
I don't either. But like that Golden State Killer documentary, I Will Leave in the Dark or something like that.
Yeah.
I watched the daddy end. Yes, he had two kids, I believe, maybe three, I'm not sure. His wife was a tax attorney. They were getting a divorce.
A taxidermy?
Yes. Good job, Mom. Anyway, he at one point was taking care of his niece, and she adored him. She just adored him because he saved her from this abusive dad and all this stuff.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And she just – and it was weird because – they interviewed some of the family members of him and they're just like, the niece was like, that he stopped doing this the 4 years I lived with him. And then when I was 18, I left home to go to college or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he started back up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's like, he stopped when he was actively being
a nice dad.
Yeah. Or just dad-like, or had responsibilities. It's like, idle hands of the devil's workshop. What's the saying? I don't know.
Yes.
But so it was, it was fascinating to me,
Yeah.
And, I don't know.
To have to be like a dad.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And so you say, so he had two faces.
The two faces of dad.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Norm has two faces. Daddy does. He's got crabby daddy, crabby ass dad.
I know.
Where he's getting crabbier and crabbier.
Well, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about Norm having to have his DOT physical.
Yes, we have talked about that.
And he did have it. It was a stress test.
Yeah,
He had to take stress tests. And then they called and said they had found an anomaly. And so
the words you don't want to hear.
Yeah. And so he went to the doctor. Mm-hmm. And now
they got to inject dye and all that stuff and look inside. And
no, the
stent or a catheter.
Yeah, catheterization. That's what it is. They have to do that. And so that's kind of stressful, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
And I think it's making me stressful. But
yeah.
is certainly, I think, making him stressful too.
Well, because one thing he says, like, I can't give you a go for your next DOT until we get this done.
Right.
And we're like, oh.
So we're sort of in limbo.
Yeah. And so you just go, okay, this is interesting. And you just feel more mortal today than you did yesterday. Mm-hmm. You just feel it. You can sense it and you just feel it.
Yeah. But, so you were saying you were taught they were doing some dad stories on Risk.
They were. They were doing dad stories on Risk. And I was listening to dad stories. And it was so sweet because first off, they start playing like how much they love their dad's songs. Like Peter Gabriel has a dad song.
What is it?
It's about him walking hand in hand with his dad.
Aww.
And I'm like, I'm saying, you know, and I was just like, oh my God, I'm crying. I'm like, oh, this is great.
But you're driving your semi. Yeah. I'm like, your dad's semi.
You know, luckily it's like really bright and early, like on a Saturday morning. So there's nobody around.
Yeah.
And I just like, very quiet area. I'm up way up north.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, and I'm hearing these people talk about how much they love their dad. And no dad's perfect.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the thing. You go, oh, wait. You know, dad, nothing's black and white. Good dad, bad dad. No. But they're your father. And I thought to myself, all a dad has to do for their kids to love them is just be slightly present and just have their kids know that they love them. That's it.
Yeah.
If your kid knows you love them, you can have a lot of flaws.
Yeah.
You can mess up a lot.
Yeah.
But if your kid knows that he loves you, then it's like, you can do no wrong.
Did you always know dad loved you?
100%. 100%.
Yeah. What was his bigger flaws?
What was his bigger flaws? I guess.
When you were a kid.
I don't know, because like you, I mean, because he's a truck driver, mm-hmm. he was gone, you know, there wasn't consistency like in that area.
Right.
So you raised us, and so we were afraid of you. And when dad came home, he always came home with a pizza in hand. So we're like, dad's home, yay.
Dad and pizza.
You know, so those were ingrained in our brain to be like, happy dad, you know. And you always said like, oh, dad's coming home tonight, let's be. And he wasn't always an over-the-road trucker. He just was sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But he always worked longer hours.
Yes.
And that gave you the opportunity to be home and, you know, take care of us. Mm-hmm. So it worked. I think mostly, if I was going to the biggest, you know, I don't know, negative, was that he really is just a truck driver. Like, mm-hmm. he's smart as can be, like, but he loves being a truck driver.
Yeah.
He loves traveling. He loves, like, he thinks of himself as a cowboy.
Yeah.
Just riding the range. And this is what a modern day cowboy does.
Yeah.
He rides his semi.
Yeah.
You know, and he rides his range. And it's like, this is his horse. He takes care of it. This is what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Changes the tires, like changing the shoes. It's just like, he's a cowboy.
That's true.
And, you know, and he likes thinking of his little lady at home waiting for him. You know? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The whole persona.
He has a whole fairy tale. He has no idea what
and
we
some
go
of your,
through.
I know, but some of your love songs are cowboyish.
Yes. Oh, yes.
You know, a song of Man from Laredo, or whatever it's called.
Yes.
You know, and then the guy gets shot, you know, but it's like his long lost love. And, you know, it's all this
that's
stuff.
That's how it is.
It's so romanticized.
Yes.
But that's who he is.
Yes. He is that.
And so consequently, he is this superhero cowboy in mm-hmm. Greg and Ari's lives.
Yeah.
But the downside is, you know, he's a cowboy. He comes to town.
Yeah. Has a few beers.
Has a few beers, real pizza. And I'm like, adios, people. I'll see you next week. You know?
You went, Dad, where are you going, Daddy?
And the only downside, like I said, the only downside I have with you guys, which has been positive in a lot of different areas, is that we had a laissez-faire relationship with everything.
Yes.
Because we loved each other so much.
Yes.
And we were all nice to each other.
Yeah.
There wasn't contention.
No.
Neither Greg nor I were rebellious. And so it wasn't like we had to, like, you know, it's just
rebel against anything.
We didn't rebel against anything.
Yeah.
I mean, in some ways we were probably, and so we didn't, you know, we were just like, hey, you know, life is good.
Mm-hmm.
Life will happen the way it's supposed to happen. Life is good. And also, we grew up, at some point, you went back to school to become a psychotherapist. Got your master's degree in it.
Yes.
And
well, I finished my bachelor's first.
Right. And then got your master's degree.
Yes. Yeah.
And so during that time, Greg and I saw you, and you were doing therapy as well. So, I mean, like,
right.
you were going, so at some point, we were all just talking the shit out of each other. You know?
Well, you know what? That was a, it probably was a good thing because I had a lot of healing to do from my, my family of origin.
Right.
And so, it was helpful.
Right.
Very, very helpful to, for me to have that kind of therapy and to understand it all.
Yeah.
While I was raising you at that very important age.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, it was sweet today. I saw, first off, I saw this woman, mid-20s, you know, kind of like a short summer skirt. And her son is maybe 1.5, just run down, diapers only in the rest area. And she might be wearing a mask. I don't know. But she's like looking at everything and he's outside. And she's like, come on, let's go. And he's like, starts to pick up a fit. And then she picks him up and he is just like not having it. And she's like, I'm not having this either. And then they go and they get into a semi.
No, that's so great.
And my
did she drive?
Oh, she. I don't know.
Oh,
maybe I don't know. Uh-huh. But then I just thought like, see, I hope no one who is
that's what you kind of remember. When we used to go in the semi.
You used to throw us in the semi all the time.
Yeah,
I was slightly jealous because they had a sleeper.
Yeah.
And you had for a lot of trips.
Yeah.
Gregory and I literally sat on the doghouse.
Yes.
And Gregory, I was in the doghouse facing the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And he was on the floor reading Stephen King books.
Right.
And, you know, and we tried to hide when we went through a rest day or a way station.
Right.
That was the 70s. You could get away with that.
Yeah.
I think now that is definitely, if the cops would have pulled you, like,
oh, yeah. It wouldn't even be.
No.
No.
So there's a part of it. I thought to myself.
You guys are lucky.
I hope that that family, because, I mean, it was sweet.
Yeah.
And this is a way they could be together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they had an older semi-truck. Yeah. You know, they probably put all their money into these things.
Sure, yeah, it
to
does.
Make some money and, you know. And
especially if they're cowboys.
Yeah, especially if they're cowboys.
Yeah.
And I just go, please don't let anybody see them that feels they're, you know, like, oh, this is child abuse.
Yes.
Like, where's their car seat?
No.
I don't know where their car seat's at.
But it's not child abuse.
Hell no, it's not. Hell no, it's not.
Yeah.
In so many ways, they're bonding in a very good way.
Yes.
It's just that.
And here's the thing. Your dad was a truck driver, and now you're a truck driver.
Yes. Da-da-da. Thank you.
Although, you were a teacher.
Yes.
And I was a teacher.
You were a teacher, yes.
But I think trucking always wins out.
Well, it always wins out.
It always will.
Because
it takes everything.
Well, and also you walk into your highest paying level.
Yeah.
And you stay there then. But you walk into a high paying level.
Right.
Where everything else, you start off low and you build up.
Right.
So at certain, unless you are willing to say, oh, yeah, I'm willing, you know, that's the only problem with everything else but trucking.
Yeah, it's true.
You know?
I agree with you on that.
But I always find it, I see great, like I've been seeing a lot more women driving.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, you go, girls. You take care of your families, you know? And
yeah.
And I was into this other dad story.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lawyer. And he starts off by saying he you know, he was going through a horrible divorce in 2000, the year 2000. And he was meeting with a lawyer. And it's weird because he's a lawyer. Meeting with a lawyer. And his lawyer had his wife investigated and he's meeting her for lunch to find out everything that's going on. And all of a sudden you're starting to feel a little icky. Like, oh, you're investigating your wife. What's going on?
Yeah.
And then they're chit-chatting a little bit. Then she puts her salad fork down. It was a woman lawyer, which I thought was great. I don't know why. Because this story feels so dated.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is only 2000. And I don't think anything that would have happened to him then could happen now.
I totally agree.
It
feels dated because of I mean, anything that's like 2000.
Oh, yeah. Totally dated.
Totally.
And so you're just like, oh. And then, so he then... the lawyer tells him that there's no way I'd tell you this, but I'm just going to tell you to you fast. You're basically on the verge of bankruptcy. Your wife, soon to be ex-wife, has been getting numerous credit cards in your name. The interest rate alone is $4,000 a month to pay for the interest on these credit cards.
And he doesn't know any of this?
Yes. And she's been having an affair with a man since before you guys got married, and there's a chance that your children are not your children. He's got two kids, a 4 and a 1-year-old.
Oh, my God.
And he says his whole world just...
What?
Died right there. And...
Was he a good provider? Is that why she...
Well, yes, he was a good provider.
Better than the guy she was effing.
Probably. He was older, like 20 years older than her. So who knows what was going on. And so that was interesting. But the end result was, I thought was dated, was that he was also on prescription drugs for depression because he has family history of depression. And he can have bouts of it. And his wife would not give him joint custody. She wanted full custody. And she's like, I'm not going to give it to her. I mean, they're going to have to take my custody away from me because I'm not going to give it to her. And I guess at that time, there's another woman involved that does the investigative work to see who's best fit to take care of the kids. Mm-hmm. And because she was a stay-at-home mom, and the woman says to this guy outside the court during one of the sessions, he's like, you need to work this out with your wife, because if I turn in my opinion, you're not going to see your kids ever. And he's like, I don't understand why. He goes, I've done nothing but take care of my kids. And he said, you will have to force me to give my parental rights away. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. And
did she say why she thought he was not fit?
Because he works a lot and he's depressed. He's on antidepressant medication.
Oh yeah, this is dated because so dated. Now you think I know
who's not, and this woman who racked up debt and was having an affair,
she's okay.
Mm-hmm. And so he did lose. He only got to see his kids on the weekends, mm-hmm. but he did have the DNA test, and they were both his.
Oh, thank God!
So he was like so incredibly happy.
Oh yeah.
But he said there are times, though, he had that voice inside of him saying that you should just die and go away. That's what they all want anyway.
Yeah.
They want you to just go away, yeah. Give her all your money and just go away. And you're not a fit dad. Mm-hmm. And he was living in an apartment at this time, mm-hmm. taking care of his kids on the weekends.
Wow.
And an older woman there was living in the apartments as well. Mm-hmm. And he was having a real bad moment. And she finally talked to him and he says, this is okay. I just want to let you know, I've seen you around. I don't know you, but I see you. You're such a good dad. And he just starts crying his eyes out. And he's like, aww. And then you realize, he goes, in his mind, he's not that great of a dad. He gets angry. He gets upset.
Yeah.
They were swimming together and the daughter had pooped in the pool and he's mm-hmm. picking up all the poop from the pool.
Aww.
And he's like, this is not funny to me. I'm upset.
Yeah.
He goes, but I'm doing what I can do, you know? And he goes, and this is what's so dated about it. He said, I would be at church or at the grocery store and my kids might act up a little bit. And they said, don't you regret not having the little lady come to go do the grocery shopping and have you stay at home? Like they all thought like, hey, why are you the man going grocery shopping with your kids when the wife should be doing it and she would have a better control of the kids?
Oh my God.
And I'm like, that just wouldn't happen now.
No.
And I thought, we are making improvements.
Yeah.
But my God, that was only 20 years ago.
But we are different.
We're different. This would not happen where it would be a blanket statement that the wife, no matter what, gets the kids.
Norm was talking to me today about homelessness, mm-hmm. and I told him, because he was, he was thinking like, how do people stay homeless,
right, or why? Right.
And I said, like Dr. Drew said, if you're not mentally ill, you in general 6 months.
Yeah.
And that's all it really, really takes.
Yeah.
And here's a guy that he had to find an apartment.
Yep.
And he's still paying on this credit card.
Yeah.
Just to see his kids.
Yeah.
To do anything to not be homeless.
Exactly.
That's why I wonder about the homelessness as a lifestyle.
Right.
Now, I'm not being creepy.
No, I know you're not.
I know that there's homelessness because of addiction.
Yes.
There's homelessness because of mental illness.
Which I think are different. I agree.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
There's homelessness because of that quote-unquote six-month thing.
Right.
There's homelessness. But what about like just these, where you hear about these vast numbers of homeless people, like in California, or what do you think that's all about?
I don't know. I mean, if I'm going to guess, I think part of it is drug addiction. Part of it, and
so is it mostly addiction?
It's mostly addiction, and I think because of California being what it is, like not bad weather ever. You know, you can stay outside almost all year round.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably, you kind of get into a mode. I'm not saying, you know.
Yeah, I can, because Dad and I are trying to figure it out. Because we don't, it's not, I mean, you and I could sit here, we could think about it, but we really don't know what it's like.
Because
I mean, we've never been homeless, except there was a time in 9/11 where we had just sold our house.
Day 9/11, we closed on our house.
Yeah.
We sold our house. And our other house was not, it was not even under roof yet.
No. And exactly. So, and that was 9/11. So at that moment in time, we were without a home.
Yes. And for 2 days, we stayed in a state park.
In a cabin with no electricity or anything.
Nope. With two dogs.
Yeah. And during that time, we bought a camper.
Yes.
And we also bought a piece of little, like a...
A campground, like a Jellystone site.
Right, a campground site.
Yes.
So in those 2 days, well, luckily we had that money to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
But what if we hadn't?
Well, you know, my brother, Greg, after his divorce, he was homeless for a short time.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to be.
No.
He could have come home, you know, but convenient-wise, he would have had to driven. And he's like...
But I don't think he wanted to either.
No, it was too... He needed that time without any kind of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived in his car.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little bigger car. It was like an SUV kind of thing. So he could sleep in it and, you know, whatever.
He could lay down in it.
He could lay down. Yeah. And I, you know, he wasn't like that for a long until somebody, he was also doing a play at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
also
finally,
too, he lived in a car parked in a gym parking
lot. Yeah, so he could, a 24-hour gym parking lot.
So he could also always go to the bathroom and shower and work out.
And we would see him once in a while, and on cold, cold nights, he'd come over here. And then, but once we go see him, like, you know, and he, if you brought something in, he'd have to take something out.
Mm-hmm. And of his car, you mean.
Of his car.
Yeah.
He was very organized with that.
Yeah.
But it didn't last very long. I mean,
right.
You know, somebody local offered, heck, you know, come sleep in our basement at least, you know, or
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it was enough for him to just, I'm just guessing.
Right.
He needed a moment to not have any responsibility anywhere.
Right.
Because.
Oh, so maybe that's what happens in homelessness.
You need a reboot.
Yeah, maybe.
But.
And then you don't, it just becomes a lifestyle.
I think it does. If you can successfully do it, there are people. Like, there was this TLC
Because,
channel.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Because it seems like these people have tents. I'm not sure.
Some of them do.
Yeah.
I would call them tarps more than tents.
Okay. Well, I had a friend. I mean, that was not a close friend, but mostly was a client that sort of could not afford to, and so I did pro bono work with her.
Right.
So, but she moved to Colorado because she could just go right there and apply for welfare and resources.
Right.
And so she did. And she, right then and there, she got apartment. She got medical taken care of and food. And I can remember during this time, this was years and years ago, but I remember feeling a little jealous because it was very, at this time, it was difficult for us.
Right.
In trucking.
Right.
And that she just walked right into this and didn't have to work, got an apartment, got food stamps, didn't have to pay for medical stuff.
Right.
And I can remember going, and I don't know if California is like this or not, if you can just go there and get these kind of resources automatically.
Well, they don't have that kind of,
And it may not even be like that anymore now in Colorado.
Right. And I think you can do that on a smaller scale, but I don't know if you can do it on such a massive scale with, like, California has 50,000 people who are homeless.
Right. That's a lot.
I mean, you know, and then I don't know, you know.
Yeah, because that's different than unemployment, being unemployment benefits.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And so it's like when I think about the homeless situation, I think of it macro and micro.
Yeah.
Because you go, okay, I can help one person. I can't solve this problem because it's so big.
See, I think too, like if you have, I swear to God, I hope that, I never think of homeless people having children because I just think that would be horrible.
Right.
But then again, I've seen these documentaries where these people that have to like work at McDonald's, or they live in like old motels.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Like just these little tiny motel rooms with a bathroom. And then, I mean, have you ever seen those, that documentary on that?
No.
Oh, it's just, it's like, it tears your heart out. And like a lot of these mattresses have bed bugs and these kids have lice. And it just tears your heart out because the parents have to, they work like at, some work at Disneyland.
Right. Well, that, see, it's interesting too because now you have, now you're trapped.
But at least that's not homeless.
No, it's not. But here's the thing. You've got working parents, but what you don't have is someone helping them going,
no,
you can have a better life than this.
Right.
Because there are times when you need to shut the life you have down completely and, like, strive for a different life. It may be hard for 2 or 3 or 4 years.
I agree.
Like, we have people who come up who are families who go to school. They take out student loans.
Right.
They live in a small apartment.
Right.
But they know in 4 years they're going to have this degree making this kind of money that they'll be, that it'll be all worth it.
But if, I mean, pray to God that nothing happens, you know.
Right.
Like, I saw in this documentary.
Yeah.
I would not call some of the people that I saw that were working, you know, like at Disneyland or McDonald's. Some of these were single mothers.
Right.
Now, I wouldn't call them having mental illnesses per se.
Right.
But I would say that can they structure their lives where they go, oh, I need to shut this all down to get a reboot? I'm not sure they have
this
the
is their This
capacity.
Is where they're at. This is, yeah, I understand.
They would need some huge help.
Well, and that's when you go, because, like, this is where we've all need help. I mean, if we have the chance to live to be 100 years old, I don't feel anybody's life is throwaway, no matter how old you are.
It's throwaway?
It's throwaway. No one's life is throwaway.
Julie.
I know I said that the other day.
No, yesterday you said, you need to put a few people down, you said.
I know. I did. And I said, please don't repeat this.
Oh, sorry.
You did repeat it right now.
It was an accident. She didn't mean it.
Okay, I'll tell you why.
You did not mean it.
And I said, I don't mean it like that, but I was watching this one show, and this guy was getting intervention. He was addicted to pain medicine, and he was also physically incapable of taking care of himself.
Yeah.
And he was young, like 30.
Yeah. And his parents had gone literally broke trying to take care of him.
And he was bullying his younger brother. And he was messed up.
Yeah.
And he was being thrown out of hospitals, but he can't, he literally
aggressive.
Can't take care of himself.
Right.
He's physically.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, maybe.
There could be a case.
Maybe.
For putting somebody
down. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or letting it all just let it be. Like, okay, like, hey, dude.
Or this is where you go when this happens.
This is where you go when this happens.
Yeah.
You know, or like, hey. We're just going to leave you outside.
Because, you know, like when you were young and your parents would go, oh, we took your doggy to the farm.
Yeah.
The farm. That's where they need to go.
Because I couldn't I couldn't figure out how this person gets help.
Yeah. And yet, you've heard stories, though, where people go, I was like a literal mess.
Yeah.
And I
got better.
But for the grace of God, this is what happened to my...
I know.
And so you know that there's it's possible.
Well, I know it is possible. That's why I want to say if we're living to be 100, at any given time, it's possible to have change. And sometimes it might just be that we don't know what change can happen next.
Right.
You know, what thing could change? I mean, what if... a new energy comes into the planet, and we're all healed.
Our
brains are healed. We think differently.
Yeah.
We have different thoughts.
Like, you know, Dad said he was working this weekend. A young girl came up to him, young woman truck driver, and she said, I don't know how to chalk my brakes or something. She was doing something. And
she needed to move her axle because her axles were not appropriate.
So Dad helped her move her axles.
Yeah.
You know. That's what she said. I know.
We know I'm moving your axle, man.
And she was
I haven't had my axle moved in a long time.
You just need him greased, baby. But he said she was kind of crying, and she said, you know, this is just my first week in trucking. And she goes, does it get better? And he went, not really.
I think he also says it gets worse.
He did.
Normano.
I've been doing it 50 years, and it really doesn't get any better. This is it. And cowgirl.
Yeah, cowgirl.
Put your boots on, cowgirl.
And yeah, buckle her up, buckaroo.
Yeah.
See, I can do it.
She's like, okay. I guess I can do this.
Yeah, I think I can do this.
If I could, I can feed my 8 kids.
Yeah. You know, we can take care of it. We can get this done. You know.
He's like, no, it doesn't get any better. It's the road, baby. Chica. The chicas.
Exactly. Chica, for sure. And so, you know, I like I said, it's like, it's interesting what you were telling me, because, you know, I've been running around in my head what I'm doing next, you know, in 3 years
yes,
from now.
Yes.
And you keep saying, you better have your plan solidified next couple of weeks.
Hey, girlfriend.
And then you said, I guess you can be a truck driver till you're 80 or 90, Julie, but I'm telling you right now, I just heard Chicago's giving up 40 miles of highway
to those
you know, non-driving trucks. And I'm like, oh.
Driverless trucks. Yes.
You know, and I go, okay, it's all good, but it isn't happening tomorrow. I got time. I hope I can reboot my life. I don't know. We'll see.
Julie, we need a reboot.
Yeah.
Or just a good cowgirl boot.
I need to be kicked in the ass by someone wearing cowboy boots.
We need a boot in our butt.
Exactly. Get me going. Say how it is and so forth.
What do we call Elliot when he does that? Thing when his butt on the ground, on the carpeting.
Oh, butt scoot.
We call it the butt scoot boogie.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so that's so cute. Yeah. I like it. I just saw Normano take Elliot out right now in a golf cart.
No.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
I know. It's so sweet.
He and his little dog.
Exactly. Man's best friend.
I hope he's doing okay.
Yeah. I was also going to say this, you know, we only have a few minutes left. I had
what did you think of the show today so far?
I want to talk about the mask thing again.
Yeah.
So
with the poop on it?
Yeah, but now that we have these masks that we have all the time, what other things can we use the mask for? I mean, they really do come in handy.
Well, that's true.
You know,
yeah.
It could be
except
a pothole.
Yours are always broken.
My I know. Because you bought five
Juliet.
500 masks.
I know.
And they never stay more than a day.
Yeah. Yours always breaks. And so you're tying them.
Yes.
Which means that there's no protection. Things go underneath them because you just.
They protect enough.
Yeah. It really is.
I wear a mask. They wear a mask. It's like I wear a condom. They wear a condom. So if my condom breaks even or just a little tear.
You do it for your. You do it for yourself. You do it for your.
Yes. You do it for. And their condom is good. Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Now, if we both have two broken condoms. There's a chance of conception. It's a minor chance. It's a little chance. There is a chance. Slight chance, yeah. But there's a chance.
So, okay. So we're talking about masks, not condoms.
I know. So, yes. I'm just putting it in the language that you can understand.
Right.
Because.
What napkins, obviously.
Yeah, obviously napkins.
Washcloths.
So if I have a barbecue, I go out to barbecue.
Yes.
I wear my mask. To get to the table,
yeah.
I take off my mask to eat my barbecue.
Yeah.
I then, no one gives me napkins, and then I can use my mask to wipe my barbecue mouth.
I love it, because then you'll have stained barbecue stain in front of your mask.
Oh.
I just love this, because now I've got my idea, I've got poop stain
yes.
on your mask.
Barbecue stains
on your mask. What else kind of stains?
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when you have to clean up the oil, like you're checking the oil.
Yeah, for your car.
I got to wipe this oil down. I'm check my oil. Oh, I got a mask right here. There's a ton of stuff that can be worn. The mask, I really see in the future, these masks will become more like, you know, I had my bra pocket.
Yes, I love it.
And now we'll have a mask pocket.
Now we have mask prep. Okay.
You know, we'll have, and these masks will like almost like aprons.
Yeah.
Because we'll have like our phone in it, and a wallet, a credit card compartment, and like, oh, let me get my wallet out of my mask, you know, and all this good stuff. It's going to be awesome. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be a good new world.
Finally, the world has caught up to you because people don't have to wear any makeup now.
I agree. I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
Except that the other day, I was...
Can your eyes are so expressive.
And I have been working on making my eyes more and more expressive.
Yeah.
And then, but what happened was I was talking to somebody and they had a plexiglass so I could see myself.
Yeah.
Oh. And all I saw was lots and lots of wrinkles on my eyebrows. I'm like, oh, I guess I must listen to my mother and get Botox. Because you have been saying for a long time, yes. Julie, you need Botox.
You need Botox, Julie.
Because you're very expressive with your forehead and that'll bite you in the ass.
But I'm just saying right now, if you start now, just imagine being
80.
Yeah, and not having a damn wrinkle.
Yeah, I know, and you'll be 100. That'd be awesome.
And not have a wrinkle. That's going to be scary, actually.
At some point, you want to look your age.
Yeah.
Because at some point, you're like, I don't want to be 100 and have some 30-year-old going, God, look at that babe.
Yeah.
You know, like, dude, back off. I'm 100.
Well, we have a friend who her husband is younger than her.
Yes.
And so initially, she liked looking younger than her age. Because her husband was younger.
Yeah.
But now she's of a certain age where since it's cool to be a cougar, she's like, I'm not coloring my hair anymore. I'm just going on naturel. And now she is like saying, I got a younger man, honey.
Yes.
And that's where it's at.
That's hot.
Yeah, and that's hot.
And that's hot.
That's how you play it.
Yes. Exactly. I'll play it that way.
I don't have a younger man. My husband's 2 weeks older than me.
Yes. Exactly.
I just think that's so cute, though. I mean, if there's reincarnation, that somehow Normano, as a soul, came down, incarnated in Litchfield, Illinois.
Yep.
And here I am up there.
2 weeks later.
2 weeks later going, oh, my God, how do I get close to him?
Yeah.
How do I find this guy?
Yeah.
I can't. There's nothing happening in Litchfield.
Right.
Closest thing was East St. Louis, Illinois.
Yeah.
50 miles south.
You're like, okay, we take our chances.
I think I could probably
make that happen.
I'll take that one.
Yeah.
That's kind of like kind of Yahtzee.
Yeah, Yahtzee, so exactly.
I come in, oh, just 2 weeks behind him.
Yeah.
Surely we'll meet.
Yeah.
Surely we'll have similar backgrounds.
Yeah. Catholic Lutheran.
Surely his parents will be as kind as my parents will be.
Your parents kind? Kind of.
Yes.
They were kind of parents.
Kind of parents.
They were kind of parents. But and then, you did it.
I did it. I did it.
So, girlfriend, how was the show today?
Oh, no, I feel it's kind of sentimental.
Yeah.
I feel kind of sentimental about Norm.
Do you think it was great?
It was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great.